All right, let's dive in today. We're taking a deep look into a pretty major case in corporate law. Pfeiffer v. Toll is a really, really important Delaware decision about insider trading. And, you know, we've got some great sources that really dig deep into this case.
Yeah, definitely. Really fascinating stuff.
Really, really key stuff here for anybody who's interested in corporate accountability. You know, how do we hold these corporations responsible?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So today we're going to really try to figure out why this case, Pfeiffer v. Toll, still matters so much, especially when it comes to, you know, like the whole idea of fiduciary duties and this thing called the Brophy claim, which is a state law thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So for anybody who's kind of swimming in the world of corporate law, you got to know this case.
Absolutely. It really highlights that state law still plays a big role.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to holding those corporate directors accountable.
For sure. For sure. So, like, at the heart of this whole Pfeiffer v. Toll thing, our sources lay it out pretty clearly. The big question is, could the shareholders of Toll Brothers actually sue the directors? Because these directors, they sold, like, a ton of stock, like millions of shares. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, right?
Wow.
And all this while, they were saying publicly, oh, yeah, the company's going to grow like crazy. But then there's this whole allegation that they knew those projections were bogus.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this other procedural thing, too. Like, did those shareholders, did they have to first go to the board and be like, hey, sue yourselves?
Right.
Like, what's that about?
And we got to talk about the Brophy claim, too. Like, is that even still a thing in today's world?
Yeah. Definitely worth exploring all of that. It's interesting, you know, they're putting out all these positive statements about, like, huge growth in the future. And then right after that, you see all this insider selling happening, and then bam, they slash the projections. Of course, the stock price tanks.
It's pretty suspicious, right? And that's what the shareholders are pointing to.
Yeah, no kidding. So let's like nail down the timeline a bit. So The case, it tells us that Toll Brothers, they were projecting this like really strong growth, right? Like 20% for net income in both 2006 and 2007.
Yeah. Sounds pretty good on the surface.
Yeah, totally. But then you look at what the directors, the bigwigs, were actually doing. Between the end of 2004 and September 2005, they sold something like 14 million shares of Toll Brothers stock.
Seriously?
Yeah, and they raked in over $615 million. That's a lot of insider action.
It really is. And the sources, they highlight that for some of these directors, those sales, it was like a huge chunk of everything they owned.
Oh, wow.
Some were selling like 92%, 93%, even 84% of their share.
Oh, man.
When you see that kind of volume at that specific time, you got to wonder, right? Like, did they really believe what they were saying publicly?
Totally. And then, surprise, surprise, in December 2005, Toll Brothers, they completely change their tune. The growth projections get slashed. They start blaming weak demand, regulatory hurdles, all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the stock price takes a nosedive. So then this shareholder named Pfeiffer, he files a derivative action in the Delaware Chancery Court.
Right, right. So that's a lawsuit brought by a shareholder, but it's on behalf of the company.
Exactly, exactly. So the Toll Brothers directors, obviously, they weren't just going to roll over. They filed a motion to dismiss the case, and they had all sorts of reasons, right?
Yeah.
Like, one argument was, hey, the shareholder should have come to us first. They should have asked us, the board, to take legal action. And then there's the statute of limitations thing. Like, hey, this all happened way back when. You're too late.
Uh-huh.
And they even said the complaint doesn't even have a real legal claim. Oh, and they even went after the whole Brophy claim idea, saying it's not even valid anymore.
Oh, wow. They really threw the whole book at them.
Yeah, for sure. So let's unpack this legal stuff bit by bit, starting with this demand futility thing. Why couldn't Pfeiffer just go to the board and say, hey, you should sue yourselves? Like, what's with this extra step?
Yeah, it's an important part of derivative lawsuits. Generally, a shareholder can't just jump in and sue on behalf of the company without first giving the board a chance to deal with it.
Right.
The idea is let the board handle it since they're the ones running the company, right? But there's this exception called demand futility. Basically, it means making a demand would be totally pointless.
Okay.
And in this case, Pfeiffer, the court said, yeah, asking the Toll Brothers board to sue themselves would have been a waste of time.
Yeah.
And their reasoning is pretty interesting. They pointed out that most of those directors, they were also facing a potential lawsuit from the same events.
Oh, so it's like they were already in hot water for the same stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The court basically said if the directors themselves could be held liable, there's no way they'd be impartial about suing themselves.
Yeah, it's a total conflict of interest, right?
For sure. And the sources actually quote, the court saying that a substantial likelihood of liability can really mess with the board's ability to be objective. Basically, Delaware law gets that people aren't going to go after their own interests. Makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Now, what about the whole too late argument? The sock sales were back in 2004 and 2005, but the lawsuit didn't come until 2008. Why wasn't that a problem?
Exactly. The court basically acknowledged that shareholders in big public companies, they can't be expected to have all the internal info like the directors do. They have a right to trust what the company officially says. It was only when those projections were revised way down in 2005 that the problem became clear. And that's when the clock started ticking again.
Okay, got it. Now, what about the outside directors? How could they be on the hook if they weren't involved in day-to-day stuff and maybe didn't even know about those, you know, allegedly shaky internal numbers? What's their responsibility here?
This is where the duty of care comes in. Specifically, there's Section 141A of the Delaware General Corporation Law. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. Basically, it says that the board of directors is in charge of managing the company's business.
Okay.
And the court interpreted that to mean all directors, even the ones not involved in everyday operations, they got to be reasonably aware of what's going on with the company. Think of it as the cornerstone of board responsibility.
So even if they're not in the nitty-gritty, they still got to keep their eyes on the big picture, the overall health of the company. They can't just say, oh, I didn't know.
Right. The court basically said, come on, these outside directors, they probably had access to the important data and they should have understood it. That data, it contradicted those super optimistic growth projections they were putting out there.
Right.
And the court also looked at the timing and amount of stock sales by those outside directors. We talked about those big sales earlier, remember?
Yeah.
Well, the court saw that as more evidence that they were trading based on insider info, not just making normal investment choices.
So it's not just what they knew for sure, but what their actions, those stock sales, kind of hinted at. Like, they either knew or should have known something was up, right?
The court basically connected the dots between their duty to oversee the company and their stock trading. It led them to conclude that the shareholders had a valid claim. Like, these directors, they knew or should know those projections were off, and they used that info when they sold their stock.
Gotcha. Now, let's get into this Brophy claim. The defendants in Pfeiffer, they were saying that this whole legal idea was outdated, not relevant anymore. But the Delaware court, they really pushed back on that, didn't they? Why was that? What's so important about Brophy and Delaware law?
Yeah, the court made it super clear. They said Brophy v. City Service Co., which has been a big deal in Delaware law for a long time, it's still essential.
Okay.
They emphasized that Brophy is really important for holding those corporate insiders accountable when they took advantage of confidential company info to make themselves richer.
Mm.
They even said that keeping Brophy as a cause of action is in line with Delaware's strong policy of cracking down on disloyalty by people in these positions of trust.
Okay, so it's like Brophy is their weapon against insiders who are playing dirty.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It stops them from using secret info for personal gain, which could hurt the company. Okay. It's about protecting the company's info.
Okay, I get it. So how is this Brophy thing, this state-level tool, different from those federal insider trading laws, like Rule 10b-5 under the SEC Act? Are they going after the same stuff, or is there a difference?
That's a really key difference to get. They both try to stop insiders from trading unfairly, but they work in different ways and protect different things.
Okay.
The court in Pfeiffer made it clear that Rule 10b-5 doesn't override the Brophy claim. In fact, federal securities law often uses state law when it comes to these duties of loyalty.
Right.
At its heart, Brophy is all about protecting the company itself. It's about making sure insiders don't misuse confidential info to benefit themselves in a way that could hurt the company.
Uh-huh.
Federal law, on the other hand, is more focused on protecting investors in the market. It wants to make sure the market is fair and efficient, that nobody's cheating or manipulating things.
Okay, so Brophy is about the company getting hurt, and federal insider trading law is about stopping investors from getting cheated.
Exactly. Brophy recognizes that secret company info is a valuable asset for the corporation. And people with a duty of loyalty to the company, they can't use that info just to make themselves rich, especially if it could hurt the company. It's about protecting that information.
Yeah, got it. Now, what are the pieces of the Brophy test? What does a shareholder have to show to win a case against an insider?
Okay, so the court in Pfeiffer laid out the two-part test for Brophy.
Okay.
First, the insider, they got to have had material, non-public information about the company.
Right.
Second, they got to have used that info improperly, by trading stocks because of what that insider info told them.
Okay.
So both of those things have to be there and they have to be proven to win a Brophy case.
Gotcha. And in Pfeiffer, did the court say the shareholders did enough to show both of those things?
Yeah, they did. The court said, based on their positions and responsibilities, it's likely those directors knew that the growth projections they were giving publicly were probably not going to happen. That was the material non-public information.
Right.
And then they sold a ton of stock right around that time, remember? Especially some of them who sold almost all of their shares. The court saw that and thought, they were probably trading based on that insider knowledge, not just making regular investment decisions.
Okay, makes sense. So if someone wins a Brophy case, what happens? What about the money those insiders made? Who gets that?
This is important. Usually the insider has to give back the profits they made from trading unfairly. It's called disgorgement.
Okay.
But that money goes back to the company, not the shareholders who sued. The whole company benefits.
So it's not about paying back the investors who got hurt, but about making sure the insiders don't get to keep the money they made by cheating.
Exactly. The goal is to prevent people in those positions from using company assets, like secret information, to make themselves richer. It's about upholding their duty of loyalty and preventing them from getting rich unfairly.
Okay, so let's just recap the key points from Pfeiffer v. Acole based on everything we've talked about.
Sounds good.
First, Brophy is still a very important tool in Delaware law. It's there to deal with corporate insiders who break their duty of loyalty by trading on inside info.
Second, Pfeiffer shows us that if a board could get in trouble for something, shareholders don't have to ask them to sue themselves. Delaware courts understand that's a conflict of interest.
Third, the case reminds us about equitable tolling. If shareholders believe what a company says publicly, even if it's misleading, they have some time to figure things out before they have to sue.
Fourth, Pfeiffer really stresses that even those outside directors, they have a duty to stay informed about the company. The court showed us how their knowledge can be figured out not just from their jobs, but also from their stock trading, especially when they sell a lot of stock at a suspicious time.
Fifth, we got to understand the difference between federal insider trading law and the Brophy claim under state law. Federal law is about protecting investors and the market, while Brophy is about protecting the company itself from insiders misusing confidential info.
And lastly, Pfeiffer reminds us about the two parts of the Brophy test. Having secret company info and using that info to make trading decisions. The court thought the shareholders in this case showed both of those things. They pointed to the fact that the directors probably knew the growth projections were messed up and then sold stock before anyone else knew. And don't forget, the main goal of a Brophy claim is to make the insider give that money back to the company.
So thinking about this case more broadly, one of our sources asked a really interesting question. How do we actually measure the damage to a company when it's not just about losing money? Like, what about damage to their reputation or investors losing trust?
That's a great point. Yeah, making the insider give the money back is good. But what about the other effects on the company?
Yeah.
Their reputation could be hurt, investors might not trust them anymore, and people might not want to do business with them. That stuff can last a long time, even if it's hard to put an exact dollar amount on it.
It really makes you think about the big picture of what directors are supposed to do and what happens when they don't.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a question of how much insider misconduct really costs in the end.
Exactly. All right, well, that's our deep dive on Pfeiffer v. Toole. Definitely a landmark case with lots to think about.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's been great discussing this.
Yeah, great to have you. Until next time.
See you.